About 3 years ago, I think. I think it was when Logan turned 14, so 2.5 years ago. Maybe when he turned 13, but I think it was when he turned 14. I came up with an awesome, awesome, awesome present. He had always expressed an interest in computer science, and so learning to do some stuff with computers, but we hadn't really done much with computers. So I found this kit online where you could build your own arcade game, and you could load all of the great games from the actual arcade games and all of the NES games, and like you just choose whatever game you want, and then we could have it set it up in our basement. And in addition to the computer part of it, we could build the actual arcade box and everything, so we could get some woodworking in and you know, some bonding time together while we build this thing. Super excited about it. But what I actually gave Logan was this next piece, this guy. Anyone know what this is? It's like it has microchips on it. It's called a Raspberry Pi. So this is a Raspberry Pi 4. With the Raspberry Pi, it is a tiny, completely self-contained computer. So what we have to do is we have to load the ROM on the Raspberry Pi, flash the ROM, and then we can plug in and connect all the peripherals, right? And then we build the box around it, and lo and behold, we have our arcade game. So I gave Logan this and a packet that says, here's how we do all the things. Let's go. Well, do you know what we have today in our basement? This. We have this because there is this gift given and received with fantastic potential. And yet it was intimidating enough, confusing enough, a big enough project that it just never got put together and used. And as we talk about spiritual gifts, and reminder, last week we went through 1 Corinthians 12, and we looked at there's all these variety of spiritual gifts. There's these variety of services. There's a variety of ministry. And we shouldn't be jealous of one another for what gift you have versus what gift I have. But the whole body, the whole church needs your spiritual gift, the way that God has prepared you and enabled you, either the spiritual gift he's given you for a lifetime, or the spiritual gift he's given you for a season, or the spiritual gift he's given you for the next 5 minutes, right? All of those. The church needs your spiritual gift, or we're walking around a church without a foot, right? We're walking around a church blind because we have no eyeballs. The church needs, the body of Christ needs all of its people, all of its members acting and using the spiritual gifts. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did not forget about you. He didn't forget about you. You come in here today ready, gifted by the Holy Spirit, ready to serve for the edification of all God's people. That's what the gifts are for. They are for the body. They are for the fellowship. They are to edify, to build up the church. And God didn't forget about you, which should change the way that we walk in the doors of the church service, the way that we walk into school, into work, into our into home after work, right? We walk in saying, okay, I am supernaturally empowered to do something in this time, in this moment, in this, what is it? And like this incredibly powerful gift that we've received that could do all these sorts of different things, but what could stop us? A lot of things could stop us, right? Ignorance could stop us. Well, I don't know. I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what those gifts are. And if I do know what it is, I don't know how to use it. So we're going to spend some time this morning walking through not all of the spiritual gifts, because you know what? We don't know all of the spiritual gifts. The lists we have in Scripture are in no way comprehensive. And you will find books upon books about each one of the gifts. So we are going to do a quick summary, a quick walk through each of the gifts, not to say, and that's all they are. And if you don't find yourself in one of these 10 that we're going to go through today, that you don't have a spiritual gift. No, the spiritual gifts are many. There is a variety, or my favorite word, there is a plethora of spiritual gifts available to us, right? This is not comprehensive. He is giving gifts upon gifts, and he is infinitely creative, and he is infinitely powerful, and he will give you what is perfectly appropriate in the moment to do what he is calling you to do. So let's review 1 Corinthians chapter, there's no Bible there, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12,
starting in verse 4. Now, there are a plethora of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And this is the most important verse for the spiritual gifts here. Verse 7. To each, that means every single one of us, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What are they for? Not to encourage and equip you. To encourage and equip everybody. To encourage and equip others. And he's going to make clear, especially in chapter 14, this is even more specifically focused on the church than what we usually see where everything's sort of focused at the world at large. The spiritual gifts in particular are focused on the edification and encouragement of the church. That even includes the spiritual gift of evangelism. We'll talk about that another time. All right. Verse 8, each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Then we have this list starting in 8. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits. That's discernment. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. That's a lot. A lot of different gifts. But again, this is not inclusive because when he returns to this subject at the end of chapter 12, he's going to add some more gifts to that. Picking that up in verse 28, I think. Yes. Verse 28, God has appointed in the church first apostles. And some of these appointments have implications of spiritual gifts that goes with them. Right? A spiritual gift, an apostolic spiritual gift. To some he has appointed apostles, second prophets, we heard about prophecy, third teachers, the spiritual gift of teaching, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, that's a new one, helping, administrating, that's a new one, and various kinds of tongues. He's adding to the list, he's adding more and more and more. And some of these, it's crazy as we look at some of these, right? Right next to each other, we have the gift of miracles. We'll talk about that. That's pretty impressive, right? What's your spiritual gift? I have the gift of miracles. And he flies off into the sky, right? And that's right next to the spiritual gift of helping. Now, can you imagine if your buddy, like I have the spiritual gift of helping and my brother has the spiritual gift of miracles? Like, what's your spiritual gift? I can help a buddy out. What's your spiritual gift? Flying away. These are right next to each other. And it's kind of like, I think of it like in the law, right? We have God saying right next to each other. He says, honor your father and mother, one of the big ten. And he says, don't murder, one of the big ten. And I think those are on a radically different scale from each other. I think you're confused, God, about what should be in the top 10. I think like honor your father and mother is great suggestion, but it does not rise to the level of the 10 words that God would chisel into stone with his own finger. And what God says is he's like, you're confused. You're confused. The extent to which you think one is more important than the other is the extent to which you are confused about what holiness and righteousness looks like and how to develop and accomplish holiness and righteousness within the human spirit. Honoring your father and mother is that important. Likewise, we are confused about what is hard and not hard for God. Right? We think miracles, that's crazy. Helping a fellow human being, that's easy and obvious. God says, have you met people? Right? I can turn water into wine all day. Way more impressive for me to take the selfish human spirit and give them a moment where they reach out to love on another human being. So, we're already jumping into the gifts, and we shouldn't be. Other places in Scripture, he adds still yet more gifts. And Romans, and I forgot to mark this in here. Romans chapter 12, which is right after the passage that we read this morning. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. And I'm just going to read it from up there because I can't find it. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. That's good advice, right? That's what we're talking about today.
If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service, kind of like helps, but a little different, if service in our serving, the one who teaches, spiritual gift of teaching in his teaching, the one who exhorts, exhortation in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity. We'll talk about the spiritual gift of giving. The one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. He is just listing all the ways that he has seen the Holy Spirit breaking out and putting the super on our natural. All of the ways. There are a plethora. There are a variety. We're going to unpack some of those together today. Now, before we get into the walking through all the details, there's a couple cautions. One of these is there are many, many brilliant people who look at the spiritual gifts, and they say either to all of them or to some of them that those are no longer in operation today. And this is called cessationism. That's fun to say. Cessationism. You hear the word cease in there? The idea that the gifts have ceased. And either they look at all the gifts and they say they've all ceased in the apostolic era once the apostles died, or that the sign gifts have ceased. And the sign gifts are miracles, healing, prophecy, and tongues. And the idea that God created these in order to sort of make a splash on the scene in that first century with and through the apostles. And then after that, those were no longer needed, because after that we had the testimony of Scripture. And now we find in Scripture, in the writings of the apostles and the letters and the gospel, you know, all those, in the writings of the apostles, we find what was previously communicated through prophecy and tongues and all the other things. Now, it's a logical argument. I don't think it's a crazy thing to come to, and I think it's largely come to more experientially. It's people looking around and saying, well, I don't see in my Christian experience a lot of prophecy or tongues or miracles. And therefore, I want to understand why God is doing a thing in a different way. And this is sort of a way of understanding why they don't see that. Or even worse, the kinds of prophecy and miracles I see are abuses and snake oil and things used to manipulate and lead Christians astray. And therefore, there's danger there in thinking that someone can work miracles if it's all people faking it. Because that's not healthy and that's not good. And the Scripture calls that out as Antichrist. So they look at this and they say, well, the gifts have ceased. And I do not believe that to be true for two reasons. One, I have experienced and seen all of the gifts in action in various places in my life. So I say, well, it looks to me like the Holy Spirit is still moving and acting and doing. And yes, I've seen abuses, but I've seen this done well and honestly and truly. And I've seen miracles that I can't explain, right? Healings that I have no other way to describe than miraculous healings by the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've had people speak word of God into my life in a way that moved and changed me. That is prophecy. And I've seen tongues even done in fantastic ways within the church and within private prayer, and we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. So the Scripture does say that the gifts will cease. That's the other reason I don't believe the gifts have ceased, because Scripture doesn't tell me that they ceased today. It tells me that they will cease on a future day. And we read that in the very next chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of those statements. I'm going to read that to us. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. That's where we should get our word cessation, right? Cessationism. They will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So, when do the spiritual gifts cease? Prophecy, tongues, even the gift, spiritual gift of knowledge. When do they cease? They will cease when the perfect comes. Anyone want to argue for the perfect already being here? Anyone feel perfect and perfected? Or it's going to go on to say, right, for now I see in a mirror, though dimly, and then we will see clearly. Anyone feel like they see clearly? No, we're still looking in that. We're still studying through that mirror, right? We're still trying to understand. And so we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to help us along, even as we study Scripture, even as we have the Word of God, Old and New Testament, all the things, we still need the Holy Spirit within us making it come alive, even as He's doing right now. So the spiritual gifts continue. We have these gifts of incredible power and incredible potential. We want to know, first off, what is it? What is it that the Spirit has done in me? And second, how do I use that for the edification of the church? So this will feel a little more informational, but here's what I want you each to be doing. As we're walking through these gifts, you are asking yourself, is that a gift God has given me? Some gifts, returning to last week, some gifts we might have for a lifetime. And it feels like that's just part of the way that God has wired me. But He is now supernaturally effective as I go, and God has given me the gift of knowledge. I've always been that way. I've always been wired that way. But I think He at times supernaturally gives me exactly the piece of information I need, or exactly the scripture that I need to speak in that moment, or that gift of knowledge. He's putting His super on our natural. That is like lifetime gifts. There are times where, hey, for this season of my life, I was called to be a teacher, and He gave me the spiritual gift of teaching. And then there was a time where I was teaching, and the Holy Spirit made it clear, like, not anymore. That some gifts are for a season, and some gifts, I think especially gifts like healing, we'll talk about that, are for that moment, right? You walk in, and you're like, I just felt like God told me to lay hands on that blind man and pray for them right then. And may they were healed, or over the course of a year, they were healed. We'll talk about that. All right. Some gifts are for a lifetime. Some are for a season. Some are for that moment. And as we go through them, you are listening to say, is that a gift that God has given me, that I've always had, that He's about to unveil in me? What is it, so that I can recognize it in my own life, so that I know how to use it? And if you are here this morning, He's calling you to use it in the community of Christ where you are planted. He is calling you to use it to encourage the church, not in some hypothetical future day, but right here and now. He's calling you to use His gifts. That's why He's given you those gifts, to be used. So we're listening for, do I have it? We're listening for, how do I then use it? And that's it. Let's start. There we go. The spiritual gift of knowledge. Knowledge is knowing stuff. And this is one of my favorite. I love to learn new things, right? And the knowledge that you have, there is. This is one of those where we see how important it is for all of the gifts to come and work together, right? Knowledge on its own can be used and abused, right? Knowledge could be used. Knowledge could be used to bully. Knowledge could be used to hurt people. But if you are one of those people where you were in that moment, and I was like, and all of a sudden the scripture verse that I memorized when I was 8 years old just came to mind, and I didn't even know where it came from. I didn't even know that was still in my head somewhere. And yet God gave me that gift of knowledge, in that, and I just knew what I needed to do. I knew what I needed to say. I knew what they needed to hear. The spiritual gift of knowledge is, there we go, sorry. When you look around, right, you are a walking resource for God. This is true today. It was true, so true back then when they didn't even have written scriptures. The only access to the Word of God that they had, old or new or any other thing, right, most of them, there was no printing press. They couldn't afford paper. They had that guy, that girl who remembered what Paul had said, who remembered what Jesus had said, who remembered what God had said to Moses, right? And they're passing that along. And the treasury that you are and that you can be, as you look around this people hungry for the Word of God, people hungry to know God and know how to follow Him, people who are, we talk about the spiritual gifts, and some of you might sit back and say, I have heard this 10,000 times. Some of you have, because you have the gift of knowledge. Some of you have never heard. You look around this room, there are people who have not heard all of these gifts laid out in that way, and they are hungry for it. They are thirsty for it. They need to know it so they can recognize the Spirit working in their own life. That is knowledge. Now, knowledge needs to be paired in the body of Christ with the gift of wisdom. And my favorite, the knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied to life. Wisdom is knowledge that here is the piece of information, yes, but now here is how you walk and work that out in your life. And they need to go together, not always in the same person, right? Someone can come to me and say, Dusty, you have knowledge. What is that thing? I can't think of what it says in Romans chapter 12. And like, oh, the thing about, you know, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And turn to the other person and say, yes, that is what God is saying to you right now. Yes, that is what you need to apply and work out in your life. When we're in the midst of camp, right, we're going to be teaching and there's that lecture time. But the real heart of it is then the small group leaders who then take that and help the kids apply it to their actual life and circumstance. So wisdom is taking knowledge and figuring out, how do I take what I know about God and what I know about love and what I know about how to love other people and apply that and work that out in my life? And this pyramid is fantastic, and bad things come when we reverse this particular pyramid, right? We should be structured on God, on Jesus, on his word, on the church, all those things. We should not be finding our wisdom in Twitter tweets. That's a hobby horse. It's a trap. All right. Faith, spiritual gift of faith. Faith is defined in Hebrews as to be sure of what we hope for. And the model of faith in my mind, we were just talking about this, right? Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You remember this one? And when he walks in, there's this chasm, right? And he does this. And I love the way he steps out. It's not like a toe, try to find, is there ground there? He's just like, nope, I'm just going the whole way. If it's not there, I'm just going to die. And faith, people of the spiritual gift of faith, you know what they look like? They look like crazy people. They look like crazy people. I think it's very close to the entrepreneurial gene. It's the ludicrous Jesus optimism that says, well, I can do that, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. I can do anything. I can go and do crazy things, right? As we go and we are doing new kinds of ministry and we're trying to be reckless but not risky, right? It takes faith. It takes an insane degree of strength and courage to say, yeah, I'm going to go do this and step into this completely unknown situation with completely unknown people and 1,000,000 variables that I don't know, and it could be scary, but I'm just going to go and I'm going to love on people. And this faith, right, you've seen people get into trouble because of this kind of faith, because they went and did something dumb. they had faith, and so they're like, I have faith that God is going to protect me while I walk to Hawaii. They need someone with the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom that says, I love your faith. That's not wise. Let's not do that, right? They need people with the gift of prophecy to say, no, that's not God, or discernment to say, that's not God telling you to walk to Hawaii, right? Look, I got a plane ticket. Let's fly. They need people, right? This is all of us together. But we could, in our wisdom, we could just lack the courage to walk forward. We need that person who God has gifted them to say, like, let's just go. Let's do it. And the discernment to see, okay, that is God calling them forward, and I'm going to follow that faith. Faith is the ludicrous idea that we can do anything through Jesus who strengthens us. And we take the next step. That's where that word bold comes from in our mission statement. We're not satisfied with just taking forever ordinary steps, that God calls us into bold steps forward, into Christian maturity, Christian belief, discipleship and maturity, or the new and in bold next steps, right, as we chase after Jesus, as we are disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. Now we get to one of the sign gifts of healing. Now this is the first time, this is really interesting, this is the first time in all the gifts that all of a sudden there is a plural on the word gift. So we had the gift of prophecy, we had the gift of teaching, we had the gift of knowledge and wisdom, we had gift singular as if this is a category. Now it's as if he's waving his hand at a whole collection of spiritual gifts, the gifts of healing. It stands out in the passage as a plural that sort of comes out of nowhere. The idea that there are a multitude of gifts of healing. Now, this is one that we
probably seen often, I've seen abused, this idea that there's this one special empowered figure, and maybe he's on TV, and they have the gift of healing of all kinds and all ways for all time, and if I can just have them heal me, then I'll be healed, right? And I'll send them money, or I'll do whatever it takes because they have the magic touch. This idea of a plurality of gifts of healing, you hear him saying that all people in the church can have gifts of healing. And this is one of those that maybe for a moment. And he calls us to pray for the sick. Everybody, pray for the sick. He calls us to pray for those who are sick in body, who are sick in heart, who are sick in mind. I don't think gifts of the healing mean that you have the spiritual gift of healing people's left pinky. And you have the spiritual gift of healing people's right pinky. And then he's broken out the body in that way, and you sort of have a forever specialty in the gift of healing. It's this, we are broken in all sorts of ways. And God needs to work healing in us in all kinds of ways. And he has prepared his people scattered amongst the congregation, right? That says, you know, this area of healing and brokenness in my life? He set it up so that I need Wayne in my life to work healing in that area. Whether in a moment, there's no time scale on healings. It is a miracle if it is in you know, laying on hands, it happens in that moment in a flash of light and I'm healed. Whether from my leg being broken or being crippled or from addiction or from relational damage or childhood trauma, whatever it is, I can be healed in a moment. I can be healed over the course of a decade. And it's all still God. So he has given us gifts of healing throughout. And so what we do is we are asking, what is it and how do I use it? This is one that's so simple. How do we use it? We try to heal people. We pray for them and we say, God, heal them. And we do that. We pray for them in front of them. We pray for them out loud. We lay hands on and we ask to be healed in the name of Jesus. And that takes faith because I feel like I'm sort of putting myself out there like he's supposed to be healed now. Well, maybe he is. And let God work in that way. Like all of these gifts, we test them out. We don't have to be afraid of that. You know what? I'm just going to try this, Marty, right? Be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Are you healed? Well, not right now. All right, well, I'm going to keep praying for you. That's not a scary, crazy thing for us to do. There's not a loss of faith at the end of that. There is a leaning into what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We don't fake it. We don't pretend. We just try it. And we test these gifts out in the community of God that says, you know, I keep seeing God miraculously healing through you. I think he's given you this gift of healing for the long haul. Or it was just that moment. All right, gifts of healing. Discernment. Love this one. Literally distinguishing between spirits. Now, this is so incredibly important for the church because there are spirits at work. There are spirits at play. There is the spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit among us. And there are other spirits trying to counterfeit, trying to distract, or trying to attack. And discernment is not just, I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon, discernment is not just discerning between right and wrong. Discernment is judging between right and almost right. That says, that is completely Jesus at work. That is the Holy Spirit. And that is not. That is something pretending to be the Holy Spirit, pretending to be saying some of the right words. We had an experience a couple weeks ago where we had a friend out here who was saying some of the right words and that they had been saved to Jesus Christ because they'd walked by our church and they'd been saved by Jesus Christ in that moment. But they're also handing me a crystal that will empower and change my life. And that was obvious enough for me, who doesn't always have the gift of discernment, to say, nope, that's not Jesus, right? That's crazy, or that's a demon, an evil spirit at work. And so we just prayed for her right there and then in the name of Jesus. That says, no, that's not that's not Jesus. Let's bring some Jesus, right? Let's speak the name of Jesus. And the church needs, absolutely needs. And the more we lean into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the more we need discernment to say, oh, that person who just, you know, started dancing and waving and flags and banners all over, like that was about them. That wasn't the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was about them wanting attention in the middle of a worship service. Or, because it could be the exact same behavior, right? The exact same wall waving the, and that was the Spirit of God leading us in worship. We need people with the gift of discernment. And then how do you use that in the church? It looks like this. It looks like coming up to me or to other elders and leaders in the church and saying, My spirit is disquiet. I have this sense, I have this feeling, I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me this is of God or this is not. And then we pray about that. We seek God's face in that, right? We look for confirmation in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks with one voice and says, yes, that is of God. Yes, that is not of God. That's the gift of discernment. The gift of helping. This is my favorite one to pick on because it doesn't sound like a spiritual gift, right? Help a buddy out. I have the spiritual gift of helping you move. This is one of those you don't hear people praying for. Like, what do you mean the spiritual gift of helping? It is, again, a miracle, the idea that we could look beyond all of the issues and problems that I have going on and see into someone else's life and be like, you know what they need? They need this. That is a gift. That is a gift. And it's a gift to me when my brothers and sisters with the gift of help call my attention to things. Because I tell you, I don't have this gift. I'm an idiot at times, right? So someone says, you know, I think what they're going through, we should do a meal plan. We should all make meals and dinners for them. And I think, that is so brilliant. Why didn't that occur to me? Because I'm dumb. But why didn't that occur? But they have the gift to see, hey, they're probably hurting right now. What can I do to help? Does anything help? Not everything helps, right? To see not only that they need help, but what's actually going to be helpful in that circumstance, in that situation. That is a gift. Some of you have so much of the gift of helps, right? If left unrestrained, you would just pour out every dollar and every moment of your hour in life because you are wired such that you just have to help all the people you need. People with the gift of discernment, people with the gift of wisdom, people with the gift of knowledge, people with the gift of giving in order that all of us together can work together for the glory of God. But we need all of you with the gift of helps to see who is hurting, to see that's connected to the gift of mercy, right? Oh, I just saw them and I hurt for them. And then I found out what it is that is hurting them and I know how to help. Let's do that together. Let's help. That's the heart of the church, the gift of helps. The gift of administrating and leadership. I am so thankful for half of this. The gift of administration and leadership. I pair these two together. They're different gifts. They're actually almost opposed type of gifts. Administration, or sometimes now called management, that is the idea of creating order from chaos. That we take all of these disparate pieces, right? It's a mess. It's a 100 different people and schedules, and here's all these to-do lists, and right, and to bring all of that together and manage the chaos in a way that stuff gets done. We need that because you know what's going to happen if we don't have that? Stuff doesn't get done. I am so thankful for people with the gift of administration. Why? Because I don't have it. And the gift of leadership is almost the opposite. The gift of leadership is using chaos to create change, using chaos or even producing chaos to help spur God's people to change or go in a new direction. If you only have administrators, you could have very well organized, nothing actually changing or moving, right? We do what we do and we only do that and we do it very well and very efficiently, but we just do that. And leaders come in and sort of turn over the tables and say, no, we're going to do a whole new thing. And the administrators say, oh, okay, but this is what they're wired to do, right? Let's take the absolute chaos and crazy of Dusty's half-formed idea and notion of what could be, and let's kind of come around that and figure out, okay, how does that actually become reality? How do we actually turn that into a plan and a checklist with people who know what they're doing? And those two pieces have to work together in order for the church to go where God wants it to go. Because are we where God wants us to be? No. So we need leaders to help see and guide us in a new direction. And we need people so that we're ready to do anything when we get there. And we're not, oh, we're here. Yeah, but everybody fell off the weird pointing arm thingy, right? Someone's got to manage that chaos. We need both the gift of administration and we need the gift of leadership. And the gift of giving. I love this one. This is, again, not one people pray for. God, I pray that you would give me the gift of giving so I can give away all my stuff. God has given people the gift of giving. And here's the deal. Church has to be funded. Ministry has to be funded. You can have the gift of helps such that you want to pour your life away. And you can reach out and be like, I got nothing to give. I've given it all out. That was true of Jesus and the apostles. They're out there just giving all the time. Jesus is not working during his years of ministry. He's just serving. He's just leading. The disciples left their boats, right? Left their home businesses. They were business owners. They were the sons of Zebedee, ditched their dad, right? Like, enjoy the boat. We're going. And they left. There's an irresponsibility in that. You know what God did? He brought along people behind them with the gift of giving, mostly women, mostly named Mary, right? And they had the gift of giving. You know what the gift of giving really boils down to? The ability to make money and the willingness to give it. Money or resources. Money fills in for resources, right? I have the spiritual gift, supernatural. God puts his super on my natural, and I find that I am able to earn, to develop, to grow money and resources. That's the way he's wired me. And then he has given me a generous spirit such that I'm not asking if I'm going to give. I'm just figuring out where. I'm just trying to use wisdom about when. But I am going to give because everything that I got is his. The only reason why I'm able to earn and earn more is because he's given it to me. So being a steward of that says, okay, that means that you get $1,000 and you get $10,000 and you get all of my time and you get all of my talent, right? I'm just going to give because that's why God gave it to me. That's the spiritual gift of giving, and the church needs it. The church needs it. Sometimes we like to pretend and sometimes we like to avoid. What that means, that looks like, hey, I give regularly to my local church. I give faithfully. Whether that is a tithe, 10%, or if God has gifted you such that it's 20%, or you're in a season where it's 0.5%, right? Like that responsibility to give, we're going to get into that in chapter 15 a little bit more. But if God has given you that spiritual gift, writing a check is an act of spiritual worship. And that can be a miracle in the life of a ministry and in the life of a church to someone who has the gift of helps. All of a sudden, I am now resourced to give in a way that I couldn't give before. Love it. Finally, miracles. This is the catch-all of catch-alls, right? How vague can you be in the sense that, like, what counts as a miracle and what doesn't? Isn't everything that God has created, right, his entire universe, it's all miraculous? This is the catch-all that Paul, it shows he's just listing a plethora. There's no word that says it's a gift of healing if the leg magically reattaches, right? That's a gift of healing. But if the person flies above the ground, that's a miracle. Miracle is a complete and total catch-all for anything and everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you and through me. That's a miracle. We have miracles bursting out all over the place. Here's the deal. Sometimes we think we understand and know and recognize how it happened, and sometimes we don't. That is a measure of your ignorance, not a measure of whether or not that's a miracle. The old God of the gaps theory, right, where people would say, like, God doesn't exist because people used to explain lightning as coming from the gods or gods. But now we understand that it is static electricity building up right between this front and that front. And now there's a discharge in between the two. And we understand a little bit more of the mechanics of what's going on. But that doesn't stop it from being a miracle. It just means you have a little glimpse into the inner mysteries of how that miracle happened, right? You know what happens if you look even closer? Right? My dad's a physicist. He reached the point in physics where he was like, yeah, no. And if you look closer and closer and closer, it just starts making no sense again. We don't understand anything half as well as you think that we understand things. Miracles is the catch-all for anything and everything that God wants to do, which is to say this to summarize all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives gifts how he wants, when he wants, to who he wants, to do what he wants to do. And there's no limits on what he requires in order to do that. If he wants to give you the spiritual gift of managing OBS and Facebook and live streaming out so that we can still participate and worship together in the middle of a pandemic, boom, spiritual gift of live streaming. You heard it here first, right? He can do it. Call it a miracle. There's no end to the list of spiritual gifts. And here's the thing, he never runs out of power. He never runs out of energy. He never runs out of creativity. He never runs out of what he wants to do in the church and how he wants us to grow and how he wants us to change. The only question is, will we be faithful in cooperating with what he wants to do? It's crazy to me. It's really a terrible plan. But God seems to, over and over again, want to work through his people. It's not efficient. It's not the most effective. There will come a day where he's like, okay, that's enough. Boom, new heaven, new earth, recreated, everyone completed. And I don't know if that's going to come out of like, oh my goodness, this is taking so long. I'm just going to redo it, right? I don't think that's the way God works. That's the sin in me. But God could do everything with a snap of his fingers. And sometimes he does just to show us what's possible. But mostly he wants to work in us and through us, even as it heals one another, even as it serves one another, even as it teaches to love, because God is not using us to get his work done. He doesn't need us. He's not using us to get his work done, as if he's got a task list too long for him to accomplish, and he's got to start like, okay, well, I need to call in Wayne, I need to call in Arvella, because otherwise I'm not going to get this stuff done. God doesn't use us to get his work done. He uses work to get us done. He uses ministry to perfect us. He gives me spiritual gifts so that I can bring knowledge, so I can bring wisdom, so I can even prophesy to you, not because there's no other way he could speak to you, but because that does something in me to be able to speak the word of God to you and see your life change, and then I learn more about who he is and how to love others. And that helps accomplish his work in me. That's what he's doing here. He is accomplishing his work in all of us by using us for his glory, for his ministry, for his work, for his service. And so we ask, not because it's time to go to work, right? Not because we're punching in the clock as we walk in the church building and be like, oh, I got to use this spiritual gift again. It's because God is going to do something in me and something through me, and I can't wait to see it. Because I need it, and the church needs it, and God, just show me what it is, right? I hope it's miracles. I hope I get to fly today. I hope I get to see someone healed today. I hope I get to love on someone today. I hope I get to help someone out today. I hope I get to give today. What is your spiritual gift? What are your spiritual gifts? Today, tomorrow, for always. And are you ready to faithfully use them? We're going to sing, and in the singing, we're going to worship God and say, you, Lord, you, Holy Spirit, are the potter. You are shaping me, crafting me, molding me into who you want me to be. And all that it requires from us is a yes, Lord. Yes. Yes to what you're making me. Yes to what you're gifting me. Yes to how you're using me. And may my life reflect that, right? May I be a gift and a joy to everyone around me because what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through me. Let's make that our prayer together as we sing.